This is Desiree Scales and Sandra Bean on High Velocity Business Radio X. Kevin, I sure wish I was in California right now.
I do, too. I almost had free tickets there to go to Pasadena to see the BCS National Championship game, but
man.
I missed out barely. So
I was going to say, I think it's like 65 there today, and right now in Atlanta, Georgia, it's 22, Sander.
I hear you. It was something where I'm reminiscent of my days in Minnesota. But here, there's no insulation, it seems like anything. What's up with that, Desiree?
Not at all. We're not used to that.
It's crazy. But we're going to have a hot show today.
You got that right.
Yes. And we've got two ladies that have the sun has just come into the room when they both walked in. We've got Christina McGierney today and Kathy Druin, and we are going to talk about web design, online marketing, our favorite topics.
Actually, it is.
Yeah, Sandra was excited about this.
I can't wait to talk to you two.
Yeah, so we've got, we'll start with Kathy from the Sweet Tea Group, and that's perfect. A nice, let's all envision a glass of sweet tea on a warm, sunny day on a porch.
I will go with the warm, sunny day, big time.
There you go. So how are you?
I'm great, but I'm still shivering from just walking in from outside. So
really?
If I sniffle, y'all just pretend like that didn't happen.
Okay, no problem. So I know you and I have known each other for a very long time.
Yes, we have.
And we have been in this internet online marketing game for a very long time as well.
That's why we're so good at it.
That's right. Exactly. So how did you get started? How did it all start for you, Kathy?
Once upon a time, my husband said, what I think you should do, and I listened.
Okay.
That was once upon a time.
Oh.
Back in the mid-90s, I had always been using computers to market my business, but mid-90s introduced the internet, and I said, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think I'll jump on board with this, and built my first website in 1994/1995.
Wow.
And have never looked back.
That's great. And that's when we were coding with HTML, and there were no style sheets.
No, nothing like the way we do it today.
And we were lucky to be able to put an image. I mean, when we were able to put images on the page with text, that was amazing. Like, oh, my God. And then to make it move or something.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we were coming out of desktop publishing, and then we were, like, online. I didn't even know there was an online.
I know. Online to me was AOL and
CompuServe.
Remember those days? Yeah. We were getting the AOL disks in the email all the time. So, anyway, yep, the dark ages. So you developed your own site.
I did.
And where did you find your first client? How did that come about?
At that time, I wasn't developing websites. I did it for my very own self.
Okay.
And at that, I was in a totally different career. And I built my website to target people who were relocating to the Atlanta area to buy homes.
Ah.
And they found me. I didn't have to find them, which I thought was the coolest thing. And it was so interesting because I would sit in my office in the brokerage and everybody would say, you need to be out working leads. Get out from behind that computer. And in the first year, I made twice as much money as they did. So, hey, what did they know?
Exactly.
So how did that transition into doing it as a full-time gig?
Well, we all know what happened to real estate a couple of years ago, right?
Ah, okay.
I said, get out of this now. And I did. And technology had always been my love. I was the go-to person for everybody, whether that was how do I work my pager, how do I turn on my computer, how do I do my email, blah, blah, blah.
But that's an interesting transition. So did you know right away when things started to sour with the real estate market that, hey, I'm going to go straight after this?
Yes, it so happened that I was attending a real estate function for a small group of national realtors who had all gotten online in the mid-90s. And we were like, whoo, we were hot stuff. But in 2008, I was still hot and they weren't. But anyway.
And you still are.
It's a hot show. I told you it was going to be a hot show.
So I was doing a presentation for them on how to use Twitter in their business. And their heads all looked up from their computers, and I had a rapt audience, which doesn't happen too much when you're talking techie stuff. Everybody's got their head down. And at the end of that, when I got such great accolades and I felt wonderful, I said, I've been doing this forever. I might as well do it and get paid for it.
That's right.
And there I went. Of course, it takes time to build that business.
Right, right.
You know.
So you started developing sites. Is that when you embraced WordPress, which is a content management system? It helps you actually build websites.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I transitioned from my static old 1994 site, which had been updated over the years.
Right.
But I transitioned that in late 2006, 2007 in my real estate career. And that introduced me to WordPress. And then I went, oh, my gosh. You don't have to change this 1,000 places, and you don't have to change that in 1,000 places.
Right.
So, of course, when I decided to leave real estate and go into technology to build websites, that was my drug of choice. WordPress all the way.
Yeah. And you embraced it, I think, earlier than a lot of people out there. So
I told you I was hot.
Yeah, I know.
So it's interesting because Desiree created my webpage for me.
Yes.
And now I'm working with a client. They also have a WordPress site. So what percentage do you think, of small or medium-sized businesses, is it just a de facto standard, the WordPress?
It continues to grow by leaps and bounds. Chris might know the numbers, but I don't. I could go put my fingers on it. But more and more of the market share is belonging to WordPress. And I think that a lot of that is in response to WordPress advertising, word of mouth, the fact that people can hear over and over, hey, you can get a website up and running and installed in 5 minutes using WordPress, which is kind of sort of true and kind of sort of not.
Depending on what you're looking for, I guess.
Yeah.
You can get a website. It just may not look like the way you want it to look, and that's another story.
Well, it's like putting cabinets in your kitchen. You can replace your own cabinets, but if you don't know what the heck you're doing with the hammer and the nail, and all the other tools, forget it.
Right.
No, I'm not going to go in my kitchen and replace my cabinets.
I don't even change the oil in my own car.
There you go.
I pay people to do stuff I don't want to do.
Well, especially right. Something that's going to have an aesthetic value for you. Mm-hmm. That was, not that I ever would have undertaken it myself, but it seems like that's part of what you're hiring. You're almost hiring a designer when you hire a website developer.
You are. It's both a designer and a developer. And if you choose to do it yourself, you have become a WordPress or website developer.
Right.
Maybe that's not the business you want to be in, because there is a learning curve with anything. And if you are busy trying to learn how to use a new software, you are not doing the business that's bringing you money. So it becomes a strategic decision how you want to use your time.
Yeah, and time is a huge factor in that, Sander, because I talk to business owners all the time that why should I hire you? They ask, why should I hire you? Why shouldn't I just do this myself or go get a free site out there on Wix? And, what I tell them is, what is your time worth? You're going to be fixing a lot of things. You're going to be doing this on Wix. Things are going to break. Do you have the time to go in there? What is your time worth to fix all this or set it up?
And sometimes they don't even know the answer to that.
That's right. That's right. When you could be procuring a new client, perhaps,
right,
instead of fixing your website. So, yeah, we're valuable. We're hot.
Yes, we are.
So, Kathy, what is it that you enjoy most about developing and designing websites for people?
You know what I really, really enjoy a lot is helping those do-it-yourselfers do it themselves.
Ah, that's good.
On my website, for example, there's a picture of a woman behind the computer pulling her hair out. And so if you've ever tried to do anything with technology, we have all crossed that path. Coming here today, I was calling Chris going, my GPS is telling me the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
So technology is good, and sometimes it just is awful.
Right.
So I like to hold the hand and teach people to do what they can do themselves. Not everybody needs to be a WordPress or a website developer or designer, but they do know how to use things that are within their understanding so that they don't have to send emails to somebody like me who's going to charge them more than they can do it themselves. So I like blending the two of let me tell you when it makes sense to hire somebody and when it's something you can do yourself.
Yeah, and I think that the way the world has sort of changed a little bit is that people, they're used to tinkering to a certain degree with their technology anyway.
Yes.
You know, so for me, when I first got my website up and running, I just wanted to know how to do certain things, like how do I get a new blog up there? How do I put a picture on there? How do I get that picture HTML enabled, so if you click on the picture, you go to the site. You know, these types of things. And yeah, you're right. I mean, empowering people is a good thing.
I think so. I mean, back in the day, at one point, I had hired a developer, and it irritated me no end that I would have to send an email to her to change a typographical error, and 10 days later, and $50 later. It was corrected.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
It is.
And that's the beauty of using WordPress,
right,
is the site owner is empowered to go in there and do that in less time than it would take to send me an email. Now, if you want to change some graphical elements or make your headlines look differently, that's another story.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there's always going to be a need for it, that relationship between the web designer and the web design, or the owner of the business, I should
yes.
say. There's a relationship. It's kind of a dance that, you know, works together. You work as a team. And, yeah, you definitely want to empower them to make changes. But then when they need your help, they want to feel comfortable enough to call you and trust that you can get that done for them.
Absolutely. You know, just before I came over here today, you'll be glad to hear I have a job for you.
Oh, good.
But someone
I
talked
already.
To 2 years ago called me up, and she had hired somebody else, and that person is now moving on to something different.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, do you, can you, blah, 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 Infusionsoft.
Oh, we love the word Infusionsoft here.
I thought you might.
I just got excited.
You know, but this is a client who is able to do some things on her own.
Mm-hmm.
She also needs to hire someone to manage her sites so that she can do what she does for a living. She presents workshops and webinars and all kinds of training events. And if she's busy doing that, making her money, she is not going to be able to sit behind a computer and work on her website.
Right, exactly.
You know, so yeah, we'll take care of that for you.
So you've got an event coming up that you are helping out with. It's WordCamp Atlanta.
Yes.
Tell us about that event.
Oh, gosh, if you've never attended a WordCamp, you need to. WordCamp is user-friendly. It's a strong community of people who have discovered WordPress and are in love with it. And that's everywhere from the newest of the new to the people who write this stuff. You know, the geeks of the geeks.
Exactly.
Super dupers.
Yeah.
It's mid-March. I don't remember the exact dates, but it's okay. Friday and Saturday, if that's March 14th, 15th, maybe, mm-hmm. if those are the right dates. We expect about 450 people to attend, so once we announce that the tickets are on sale, you will want to jump.
Yeah, it's March 14th and 15th at the Loudermilk Center in downtown Atlanta, so that's going to be great. I can't wait.
It is great. You've got 450 people attending several different sessions. It'll be all day Friday, all day Saturday. Let's see if I can remember. This year, the topics are make, build, learn, earn.
Okay.
So those, wherever you might fit in those, they're going to be topics that are available for, as I said, the newest of the new. There'll be people who want to know all of that code stuff that makes most people's eyes glaze over. And they intimidate me, and I'm good.
So it's for do-it-yourselfers. It's for people that, you know, tell us who the audience is.
Well, the theme this year is WordPress is for everyone.
Okay.
You know, and it truly is. We've been talking a little bit about the do-it-yourselfers, the small business owners. Maybe you have a blog as a hobby, and you just want to write your thoughts as a journal. It's for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you have built your business as a WordPress business. It's for you and everything in between. Small business owners, developers, graphic designers, foodies, gosh, everybody who's ever even thought about WordPress.
Yeah, that's great. And what is your role on that team?
I'm the co-organizer this year with Judy Knight.
Great.
And a very strong planning committee.
Mm-hmm.
I generally can be found at the registration table because I like to meet and greet, and I just know where the bathrooms are and which room is.
The important stuff.
All the stuff. That's right. You know, you just come find me and I'll have an answer for you.
Some of the best conversations are started over where the bathroom is. Right?
Absolutely. You know, plus I get to see everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Know. That's great. So where can we find you online?
Well, it's hard to spell my last name, so I'll tell you my website that I refer everybody to.
Okay.
The name of the site is Atlanta WordPress Coach, but the URL is atlantawpcoach.com.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today.
I'm thrilled to be here.
It's great. And we've got Chris McKierney. She's with Websites by Chris. Couldn't be any easier to remember, right?
Right.
That's a great name. And I know you've been doing this for quite a while as well.
Right. Maybe not as long as the two of you, but you know, I was writing down some dates. I think 97 was my first website.
Still. I mean, we started our company in 98, so I think we're all about the same. Kathy probably has a few years on us, but
Yeah.
Yeah.
In lots of ways.
No, Kathy. Well, anyway, Chris, tell us about your business and what's going on with you right now.
Well, I didn't initially start out of school being a website developer or a designer, and I don't know if I would categorize myself as either of those, maybe a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge glossary when it comes to website developers, designers, marketers, all sorts of stuff like that, but my background is really in technology and programming. I was a COBOL programmer. I hate to say that. I'm always embarrassed when I say that.
Come on. It
shows my age.
Oh, please. Embrace that. You know what? We've got a lot of wisdom to share.
Yes, we do. So I started out in programming, and then I'm so organized. I'm very goal-oriented. So my goal was to have a child by the time I was 30 and my master's degree. So I got my master's degree first. I had child the same year.
Wow.
It just worked out.
Holy cow.
No. Ended up staying at home for 5 years. And I loved being a stay-at-home mom, but my business brain was going crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how I started doing the website development. I actually started it when I was getting my master's degree. I was taking venture capitalist class over at Kennesaw State University. And I was interviewing all these small business owners, and the one commonality was they're all working 90 hours a week. So back then, I was like, I don't want to work 90 hours a week.
Yeah.
Well, look at me now. But I said, well, what do I do? And the professor, Dr. Roberts, said, well, why don't you learn this internet thing? I think that was around the time of Netscape.
This internet thing.
Was that Netscape?
I love that. Kevin's dying
over
here.
I know, right?
Netscape was 97-ish,
this internet thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. You've never known life without it.
A little bit.
A little
bit. Tiny bit.
Yeah, I guess
even
so.
I remember Netscape.
Yeah.
That's
he
a scary thing.
He was three.
Yeah, how about life
before? I know.
Anyone remember life before an iPad? Of course, smartphones.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
So I go and stir crazy. So I started off with the mommy blogging and helping out with that. And I think it was GeoCities.
Yeah.
See, even Kevin knows.
Kevin.
I'm mentioning a lot. Yeah. All right.
It's
so
great, though.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get started in that. And then, I worked a few hours at a time working for a small web development company called Radius 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working a few hours from home. And then I'd come in a few. And then eventually I got to be full time. And then 2010, I wanted to go back for project management certification, so I went back to KSU, quit my job, went back to KSU, and I just started my own web development company. So
that must have been. That's a pretty. You say, I started my own web development company, but that I always want to zero in on those moments, and that's why I did that with Kathy too, to really understand. What was your idea? What was your thought? I mean, was your strategy on how you were going to approach the market differently, or how you were going to approach it in a way that was going to make sense for you and your family?
I had no clue.
Okay. Blind ambition.
And then I started reading E-Myth.
Okay.
And then I'm like, oh, that's me. Every part of that book was, oh, that's me. And you
that's
get too much,
book.
And then you go back, and then you hire people.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I might as well just do it myself. It's easier for me to do it. And It was a rough start in the beginning because I really had no clue what to expect. I mean, I took the classes, right? Got a master's degree. I should be able to run my own website or my own website company.
Yeah.
It's been a work in progress. And I think, I mean, over the last 3 years now, I mean, I've grown exponentially. And Desiree, I've been following your career, too. I haven't been stalking, but I have been watching.
Well, what's been
you can't help but miss me. I'm out there everywhere.
Right? Well, we're going to get to that question in just a minute. Okay. Because, but my question was, so what was your strategy around the market? Who were you going after? You know, there's so many different businesses.
Well, I just wanted to help. I'm a small business, and I have so much technical knowledge in my head that I don't want to say it's easy for me, but it's easier for me than for someone who's not technical to, you know, to do a website, to know all the different parts of it.
Right.
I mean, there are hosting companies out there that say, oh, free website, you know, website up in a day, but there's so much strategy behind it that, you know, I really have honed my business analysis skills and project management skills over the years where I don't do as much development as I used to do.
Right.
So I don't do my own design work either.
Mm-hmm.
I tell anyone I can drop shadow, you know, a photo till the cows come home. I can drop shadow. I can, you know, border. But, you know, I leave the rest up to the professionals.
It's really rare to find someone out there who can do both development and design. You know, we chose a long time ago to break the two apart and have designers and programmers. And
it is
for us, it works best.
Yeah. So it's good.
That's the left brain, right brain, you know, I think. And, Yeah.
Well, do you mind if I ask the big question here for
the
three of you?
What's the big question?
It seems to me that all three of you are sort of in the same business as each other, which is great. But it's just also interesting to see you all collaborating and talking on a single radio show like this. So somebody here open this up and tell me how it is that you all consider yourself competitors and yet you're sitting here talking with one another.
I don't consider ourselves as competitors. Yeah. I consider us to be colleagues.
Yep. Right.
This is a big world.
Yep.
And people who are going to be attracted to my personality style and the way that I work may not be attracted to somebody else and vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I had a friend tell me yesterday, he said, you know, you can only help each other grow stronger by collaborating together and sharing ideas. It's good for our industry as a whole to do that. So, you know, things that I learned from Chris or things that I learned from Kathy or see them do, I think it only helps our industry grow and become stronger.
I would agree. The things that catch Chris's attention are very different than the things that catch my attention,
right,
and that we would share with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had some late night calls. Hey, Kathy, help me. How do I do this?
Right. And now, with Kathy, we're getting into Infusionsoft. That's a whole other realm. Both Chris and Kathy have called me about that. Hey, what's Infusionsoft? How does it work? And so we've all collaborated several times together.
It's just more fun.
Yeah. It is.
You know, I mean, because as small business owners, we tend to, you know, hole ourselves up in our little closet in front of the computer. Sometimes we don't get out and network as much as we should. Or if we're networking, we're not networking with other professionals that are in our industry. So no one who can really feel your pain. So sometimes it's nice to have that colleague that's just understands you.
So there's
business.
A day-to-day slog, and then there's the big picture about the business, and that's the thing that you miss, you know, for just dealing with your day-to-day things. Yeah.
Kathy and I had an accountability group that we would, you know, we would meet once a week or every other week and hold each other accountable, or we'd share ideas, or here's what I plan on doing, what do you think about this, and kind of help each other go up.
And you'd follow up on each other and say, okay, did you get that done, Chris?
Yeah,
and
did you do it? Did you
really?
Do it? And texting really helps, too.
Oh, jeez.
It's great. It's called leveling up. That's what
it's
we
like
call
a double-edged sword belonging to that group. But
exactly. Yeah.
And there are times when I'm working on something where I'm pulling my hair out, and you just need another set of eyeballs.
Yeah.
So it's you text Chris because you can't text most people at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, Or Kathy has told me once before. Okay, Chris, step away from the computer. Go grab a hot cocoa, think about it, and then come back. And the answer comes to you.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you're in the middle of it all, it's just, you can't find the answer.
Right. So. That's the truth.
Yeah.
So what has made you successful? What do you think is the thing that has helped you with your success? Besides all of your education and your hard-earned knowledge?
I find most of my success comes from the local networking and getting to know the people locally. And you know, when I started, I joined every organization there was, you know, get out there and, you know, learn from people and make good connections. And then you just kind of step back from, you know, one organization at the time. You find that one group that you really bond with.
Yeah.
And people ask me, which one should I join? Well, I don't know. It just depends on who you click with, because there's that small group. You're not going to click with everybody. You're not going to pass business to everybody. It's finding those few people that you really click with and you can refer with confidence.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah. So any plans for this year? Any big plans for the business? You working on any projects?
I am. I'm actually following in your footsteps. I am starting East Cobb Business Hour podcasting.
Great.
So I'd like to get out there more and help more businesses connect.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
How is that? Can you talk a little bit about that project, or is it sort of in its?
Well, I just did my first interview today.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is even behind a microphone, I was blushing. I was like, why am I so nervous? But, you know, it's all about just doing it. Well, yeah. What I plan on doing with East Cobb Business Hour is putting the spotlight on East Cobb businesses that have done well over the years and what is their key to success. Why did they succeed when the business next to them didn't? And, you know, kind of help each other out. And then we all wrap it up at the end. What's your favorite place to eat? What's your favorite place to go in East Cobb?
Right. More of a local show, local flavor. Yeah. That's great.
I'm just really curious about this because it's something that I've been considering myself is, are the people going to use that or outtakes from that on their webpage from those interviews? Is that something that you've...
Oh, I could do that. I only have the first one that's recorded sitting on my Mac right now, but...
I'm just wondering, what's your thought about that?
Well, I've got a website that, you know, I'll put all the podcasts on there with a transcript. And I don't know what else to do with it. If you have any recommendations, let me know. My main thing is to, you know, get those small businesses out in the open, even, you know, mid to large businesses, get them out there so people know that they're there because there's so many businesses nearby.
Right. I was just thinking that if they had websites themselves, whether... somehow audio is going to become more important on a web page.
I see what you're saying.
Just a question.
It's food for thought.
For 2014.
Yeah. Kathy, Desiree, do you have an opinion? Audio versus video?
Both.
Or both?
Yeah, you think
both?
You need to do both.
Yeah,
I'm good on opinions. My goal for the year is to follow through and practice what I preach. So
I just find audio to be a lot easier.
It is, and it's good when you're on the treadmill.
Oh.
Nope. I mean, really, that's when I listen to most of my podcasts.
You know what's weird about it is I will tell you this as a user, not as a developer, because that's not my business at all. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes I'll open a video podcast or video whatever, YouTube, and it's somebody talking, a talking head talking about a topic. I'll listen to it, and then I'll go to another window, and I'll, you know, be multitasking, playing around.
Absolutely.
So really, all I'm actually doing is listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do that with music. All the time, too. If there's something that I can't find on Rhapsody or something, I'll find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But that's true.
You listen to it and you go to another webpage.
You can go do the dishes and still listen to that video. Yeah.
Or look at your email or, you know, talk to your customers. Oops, no, I don't do that ever.
It's just a great value add. Just like the show, you know, has become for us. We, you know, you can take outtakes and put it on your website and break it up. We always provide the MP3 for the show. So, yeah, great idea, Sander.
I just was wondering if...
Awesome. That's what I listened to. My husband's boss was asking. My husband's boss is into music and recording. And so he had asked my husband, what does Chris listen to for music? What does she like? And he said, well, she doesn't listen to music. She listens to podcasts.
Right. TED Talks or something.
All business. Yeah. I love those. Were you on that? Did you do a TED Talk?
No, I have not, but
no,
thank you.
You totally should be.
I was doing the, I helped start the blog for TEDx Peachtree,
and then I also worked with
TEDx Buckhead as well. But that's one of my to-dos is to do a TED Talk for sure. So I'm putting that out there, universe, live and on the radio.
I think the phones are starting to ring here, right, Kevin?
That's great. So, yeah, that's definitely one of my goals.
Yeah, I could see you doing that, definitely.
Thank you. I just need a good topic.
Can I ask that then of all three of you? So is this something you regularly do? So you've all been in business well over 10 years anyway. Mm-hmm. Well over 10 years. But
like 20. 15.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, call me on that, my mathematical skills. But is this something you routinely have done, and has it been something that's been advantageous to each year at the beginning of the year to do that planning and talk about and think about what it is you're going to do in the next year and really try to hold to it?
Mm-hmm. I personally have a whiteboard.
Yeah?
I do the four quadrants of Stephen Covey, you know, urgent, important, and all that.
Right.
And that's, I don't know where my goals usually go. They usually start in the upper left quadrant and they kind of wander around, but it's good to have it visual. I'm a visual person.
Yeah.
I am the world's worst for planning. I fly by the seat of my pants, but I do, maybe not just at the first of the year, but at several points during the year, I will set goals for myself. This past year, for example, I have begun to outsource more of my work to my teammates as opposed to me doing everything. It's rare that I'm working at 11 o'clock at night. If I am, it's because I dilly-dallied around and it's due tomorrow. But I do have strategic goals in my head. Sometimes I share those out loud with other people, and that's a way of me planning. I never am going to write something down. I'm never going to do resolutions.
Okay, Kathy, here's your, you know, what are your resolutions, and we can help you.
My resolution is I have a 28-year-old daughter. She and her husband are thinking about buying their first house this year, and they're making a lot of talk about babies. Okay. So my goal is to be profitable enough and have enough free time that I get to play.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do the family vacations and do the baby stuff and leave the baby stuff with them. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. But see, hey, we've already established I'm a lot older than you guys. Y'all still have stay-at-home children.
Wait, am I being interviewed now? What's the deal,
Well,
Sander?
I just wanted to know.
Just turn the tables on me.
We do have two guests, but you're also in the same business. Yeah, so I'm just curious, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, about your planning. I know you're a planner.
I am totally a planner. I plan every single day. I do. And I believe if you don't write it down, it's not going to happen. Because writing it down is the most powerful thing that you can tell your brain that it's going to actually physically happen. And you have to have a lot of faith. But every day I write goals down. Every week I plan my week. And every month I plan my month. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but when I write these goals down and then I look back 6 months after the fact, 9 times out of 10, I've gotten everything done that was on my list. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, this sounds like everyone's got different ways of doing it, but that's whatever's working. So, something's working for all three of you.
Yeah, but Kat, you know, and I taught my daughter this. She writes her goals down on her mirror. Isn't that cool? Ooh, she that takes a marker and, you know,
dry erase.
She writes them down on her mirror. And I go in her bathroom and I'm like, oh my gosh, she reached that goal. She reached that goal.
Oh, wow.
She is understanding the power of writing things down for herself in a place that she sees it every single day. And I'm so proud of her for taking, you know, she took authorship of that, or ownership of that, I should say.
Right.
And she believes in that. And
I'm going to write that down.
There you go.
Because I put a whiteboard on my daughter's front door, on her door.
Okay.
So she knows her expectations. I think that's one of the big things is for kids versus parents. We could have a whole session on that.
Right.
Children need to know their expectations. And so, you know, this is what I expect every week.
Yeah.
And she wipes it off. I'm like, everything's done. And she gets her allowance.
Yep, perfect. When we were trying to, you know, get a dog, the girls and I were on the same page, and we wanted a dog, and she wrote that down on her mirror, and lo and behold, we've got Charlie now. Yep, gotta love it. So, but, you know, I believe in the power of writing things down for sure. What about you, Sander?
Well, I'm trying to learn from all. I've been in business for about 3 months, so I'm just learning from the veterans here. That's why I'm asking all the
all
questions.
Right. I guess I should have bought you a journal for Christmas.
Yeah, that would have been a good gift, although you've given me plenty of gifts, so I appreciate that.
All right.
Yeah, and the greatest gift, I think, for any business is having a good presence on the web, and all three of you to be thanked for that.
Ooh.
Thank you. Thank you. We've contributed a lot to the internet. Think about that, ladies. You know how much we've contributed and how many businesses we helped. I think that says a lot for all three of us. And you too, Sandra. You're starting your journey, but think of the businesses you're going to help this year.
I'm looking forward to
it. Very fortunate. I'm very grateful to be here in this time, in this moment with all of you guys.
Thank you. And, you know, it just feels so good to have friends that are in the same industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I've referred clients to Kathy because it was a better fit. And, you know, it just feels so good to help other people.
It does. Definitely. All right, guys. Well, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate this. Is a great, great podcast, great interview. And any closing thoughts, Kathy? Anything?
No, I just went brain dead all of a sudden. You know, I hear you wrapping up, and I did.
It's okay. Chris, anything else you want to share?
I just encourage everybody to collaborate.
Yeah.
And just, you know, speak from the heart and work from the heart, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, great. For Business Radio X, High Velocity Radio, this is Desiree Scales and Sandra Beam.